flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning on this day, Monday, February 3rd. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for the day. Thank you for starting your day and your week with me. Your man, James Jackson, this Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update. What a week we just got through. A very busy week in Sixers land for basketball. A very eventful week in the NBA. My goodness. Maybe the most eventful two-day, three-day stretch in NBA history that we have seen in terms of trades, in terms of the league shaking up. And for once this season, there is drama in the reality show, the reality TV show that is the association. And for one of the few times this season, the Sixers are not at the forefront of said drama. You got to love it. You got to love how other teams got to figure it out. You got to love that the NBA is not staying pat and is just continuing to turn heads. They said the ratings were down, and they might have done something about it. But that has not to do with the Sixers. We will get to everything that has to do with the Sixers. So before we do that, make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter, at JimmyJ23 for myself, at ClapYourHandsPod for the podcast, because even though the Sixers didn't shake up the league, we're still keeping you guys updated with everything that has to do with Sixers basketball. So let's set the week as we do on Mondays with the daily pods and the agenda. So first, I'll go through the schedule of the week. Then I'll go through some scores, some teams around the league we should pay attention to as Sixers fans, some injury news, regular news, and then I will get to some analysis. The Sixers did drop a disappointing one to the Celtics last night, Sunday night. So I will get to my three takeaways about that game. But first, let us set the week. Another kind of busy week coming off of a four-game week. We now have another four-game week for the Sixers, starting with the Mavs tomorrow, which unfortunately probably won't see Anthony Davis. He's still out from the last time he played, which actually the last time he played was with the Lakers against the Sixers in Philly. He went out with that abdominal strain. He is still out with that, so we won't see quite the new look Dallas Mavericks just yet, but we will see that team that is one half of the biggest trade maybe in NBA history tomorrow night at the Wells Fargo Center at 7 p.m. Then we spin around for another back-to-back. I have to check because I don't think any team in the NBA has had many back-to-backs in the last month that the Sixers had, right? The most condensed schedule in the NBA in December, and it seems like the start of January is just as condensed for the Sixers. So they play the Heat on Wednesday night at 7 p.m., then get a day break and go to Detroit on Friday and play the Pistons at 7 p.m., then get another day break and then go and play the Bucks in Milwaukee on Sunday at 2 p.m. I have a feeling that not that many people will be that locked in to the 2 p.m. Sunday game. I have a feeling there's another big game on Sunday that a Philadelphia team is a part of that might have the city's attention. I had to double check my schedule for what's going down on Sunday, but I believe in New Orleans, there's another big game that might have the city's grasp on Sunday. But if you're not a football fan, Sixers do play on Sunday too and play the Bucks at 2 p.m. But that is the schedule this week. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Mavs, Heat, Pistons, Bucks. So a Western Conference team, three Eastern Conference teams for the week. Let's see how the Sixers do. Coming off of winning four of the last five, almost won five straight, lost one to the Celtics. So looking to continue to turn the corner, continue to play good basketball, and hopefully make their way into the play-in scenario. Let's get to some scores around the league, some teams we should pay attention to as Sixers fans. Chicago and Detroit played, and the Pistons helped the Sixers out a little bit in the standings, beating the Bulls 127-119. It was Cade Cunningham, my man, making his first All-Star game, leading the way for the Pistons, 22 points, 15 assists, also out of steal and a block as well, plus 12 in the box score. Very good. Asar Thompson and Tim Hardaway Jr., 12 apiece, 21 and 13 for Jalen Duran, who is going to look to build his All-Star case probably in years forward. Now that the Pistons have identified their star in Cade Cunningham, they have identified probably their co-star in Jalen Duran. Shout out Philly, who plays very well alongside Cade Cunningham. They had a nice alley-oop in transition last night. So Jalen Duran is going to come into his own in the next couple of years as well, and we will see just how he blossoms for the Pistons. Malik Beasley came off the bench, gave him 19, who Malik Beasley at this point, if the Pistons season was going how everyone thought it was going, they would have moved Malik Beasley this weekend for something, right? They would have been sellers. Malik Beasley would have been a nice piece going to some other title-contending team, and, you know, the Pistons would have got a nice return. Now, Pistons stand pat at the deadline. They keep Malik Beasley and look to see what they can build a little bit moving forward. But he gives 19 off the bench for them. Kobe White led the way for the Bulls, 22 points, three assists, three rebounds. Nick Vooch, kind of surprised he survived. He's still on the Bulls, 20 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. Gave him a triple-double, though. And Lonzo Ball, 13 points, four rebounds, two assists. He is still on the Bulls, too. We'll see what holds for him on the buyout market. People thought he was going to be bought out of his contract from the Bulls. He is still there, still in Chicago. The only person who left Chicago is Zach LaVine, now on the Sacramento Kings with his former Bulls teammate DeMar DeRozan as well. I'll get to that in just a second. But the Pistons beat the Bulls 127-119. And then we move. The Cavs get back in the win column over the Mavs in a major way. They won this game in the first quarter. It was 50-19 at the end of the first quarter after the Mavs, still in shocking wake of their front office trading their franchise superstar perennial first-team All-NBA player in the prime of his career because he can't shed 20 pounds or so for them. Their first game did not look good. The Cavs took advantage of a team they knew was going to be down and out and put up 144 in regulation, and they were toying with them, right? Like, their all-stars didn't even lead the way. They got 12 points from Donovan Mitchell, 17 from Darius Garland, 22 and 11 from Evan Mobley. Pretty good game from Evan Mobley. It was Sam Merrill who came off the bench and gave him 27. Right? George Niang, 13 off the bench. Ty Jerome, 12 off the bench. Like, it was a spot where the Cavs stars are like, we know the Mavs don't even have enough to hang in this game right now. We know the Mavs don't even have enough morale right now to go and play this game. They're not even focused on basketball, right? They're still talking amongst themselves about they can't believe what their front office just did. And then they went and played the best team in the NBA, 40-9, or the Cavs now. And the Cavs made quick work of them. I'm sure if the Mavs could have ended this game at halftime and gone home, they would have. Okay. It was what? 91-46 at halftime? Like, my goodness. But the Cavs got the Mavs 144-101. And then Milwaukee went and dropped one to the Grizzlies in Milwaukee, the nightcap right after the Sixers game on ESPN. It got a little chippy too, right? It got a little back and forth. But I hope that the rest of the basketball world after the Sixers game stayed on ESPN and watched the Grizzlies Bucks, because they were introduced, but they really were shown how good the Grizzlies are this season. Third in the West are the Grizzlies, 33-16. Probably have, and not probably, but have an all-star in Jaren Jackson and maybe a first-team All-NBAer in Jaren Jackson Jr. as well. 37 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists last night. Was amazing, was very good. Also got 22 points and 9 rebounds from Desmond Bane. Santi Aldama came off the bench and gave him 23 and 8, but the Grizzlies, no John Morant right now, right? But it doesn't seem to matter. They have figured out their team identity. They're playing very well. And I know they're led by Triple J, who's an all-star, maybe a first-team All-NBA, but you look down the list, you're not seeing a whole lot of star power on the Grizzlies, right? You're seeing a Luke Kennard who comes to play as well. Zach Edey, who's probably going to be a first-team All-Rookie. Right, Gigi Jackson, who's a very good young player. Scottie Pippen Jr., who's become a very good backup point guard in the NBA. They start guys like Jalen Wells, right? So it's not star power laden with the Grizzlies. It's just good team basketball. They play very well. They play very solid defense. They shoot well from three. They're active on the glass. So the Grizzlies are a team you're going to have to watch out for in the Western Conference playoffs. And then the Bucks, teetering up and down this year, as the Bucks are known to do. 30 points and 11 rebounds from Giannis Antetokounmpo, 15 apiece from Brook Lopez and Damian Lillard, 20 off the bench from Cash Money Middleton, who's probably Chris Middleton's best game of the season, considering he's moved to the bench about a month ago. 20 points off the bench for him, for Chris Middleton, who the Bucks are still trying to figure out how exactly they're going to move forward with Chris Middleton. But we know he's there for the playoffs. And when the playoffs come, we know Chris Middleton is a very good performer. So we'll see what happens when the postseason rolls around for them. But 132-119. The Grizzlies get over the Bucks. Let's see the full Eastern Conference standings after this weekend, after an eventful weekend in the association. The Sixers are still in that 11th spot, but some distance has gained. The gap has moved incrementally, just a little bit. They're now back to a full game behind the Bulls for that 10th and final play-in spot, even after the Bulls lost to the Pistons. So thank you for the Pistons, because that could have been a 1.5 game lead, but it's still just a 1-game lead for that 10th and final play-in spot. They're 5.5 games back from the Pistons for that 7th and first play-in spot. Also 5.5 from the Miami Heat for that 6th and final playoff spot. As the ebbs and flows, the peaks and valleys of the season come, we kind of fluctuate as to whether we can look to pass the play-in or not, if we can look to pass the 9 and 10 seeds or not. After that loss, after, you know, the Bulls kind of done what they've done, we're probably looking still back at the play-in now, right? But that 1-game lead the Bulls have is not safe, right? They just traded away, maybe not their best player, but definitely one of them, and Zach LaVine. Still wait to see what happens with Lonzo Ball in the buyout market, but this is a Bulls team that is not really looking to contend. Right, they're not at the same spot of the Sixers, where they're okay with starting to look forward. Right, they're okay with what are the next stages of our team. So if they fall out of the play-in scenario, I don't think you'd see many Bulls fans be too upset about them not being the 10th seed in the Eastern Conference. So that is a spot that is up for the taking, and I'm not ruling out the possibility of us even leapfrogging the Atlanta Hawks too after losing Jalen Johnson for the rest of the season with shoulder surgery. So 11th seed right now, looking to move up. They are one behind the Chicago Bulls for that 10th and final play-in spot. No injury news as of right now. We continue to monitor all those people who are sitting out, for about the last couple of weeks for the Sixers. Caleb Martin is probably the closest to returning for the Sixers. Went through a full warm-up on Friday and Sunday before the game, which indicates that he is very close to returning to the lineup for the Sixers, but continues to be out. Kyle Lowry has made his return ever so slowly, but fluctuates between being in and out of the lineup. Was dressed yesterday, but did not get much tick in the game. And then, of course, Joel Embiid and Paul George. Joel Embiid looking to be reevaluated and returned to the lineup very soon. I'm sure we will have updates today from practice and everything about his situation, about his knee and how that is progressing with the knee swelling and if he is ready to go. And then Paul George is looking to return hopefully sometime this week, if not right after the All-Star break, with that dislocated pinky finger on his non-shooting hand, his left hand, which is good. He's going to wear a splint when he comes back, and we've seen that splint on that pinky that he's been wearing. Nick Nurse says that he is day-to-day. He says that he will continue to see how it feels on a daily basis with practice, with shoot-around, and Paul George will make his decision, or the Sixers will make their decision on Paul George, in one of these days when they feel he is ready to go and ready to return to action. But hopefully that is not too far that we have the two other components of our big three back on the floor, along with a lot of other role players for the Sixers. But those are the slight updates that we have. We continue to monitor them. And then, like I said, hopefully we get those returns very, very soon back for the Sixers. The news that I have has nothing to do with the Philadelphia 76ers. I won't get too deep into it because it doesn't have to do with the Sixers, but we do have to note that the NBA landscape was turned on its head this past weekend with maybe the biggest trade in NBA history, but also after that, the day after, one of the biggest trades in the league this season. So first, we all know the trade heard around the world, the Lakers and Mavs engage in a trade to send Anthony Davis to the Mavericks and to send Luka Doncic to the Lakers. So the Lakers received Luka Doncic, Maxi Kleber, and Markieff Morris, right, from the Mavs, and Dallas got Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and the Lakers 2029 first round pick. The Jazz were also involved in this trade, kind of the stepchild in this trade that no one was talking about. They received Jalen Hood-Schifino and the Clippers 2025 second round pick and the Mavs 2025 second round pick. So the Jazz, got some compensation in return too, but they needed a third team to make this blockbuster of all blockbuster trades happen this past weekend. So Luka Doncic is now a Laker. Anthony Davis is now a Maverick. We will not see Anthony Davis tomorrow night. He's still recovering from that abdominal injury, like I said, but I'm sure I'm not adding to any chatter that you haven't heard this past weekend from this trade. I will put my small 2 cents on this trade. I think the Mavs want it in the interim. I think the Lakers severely want it for the long term. The more I think about it, the more I really like the combination of Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. I love the supporting cast that the Mavericks have built around them with PJ Washington, Klay Thompson, Spencer Dinwiddie, and company. They've been playing very well, those role players. So I'm sure when they're fully healthy and ready to go, that Mavs team will be very good. And for the Lakers, I honestly think they have the best piece moving forward in the NBA. If there was one player I had to pick to build around moving forward, probably even maybe above Victor Wembanyama right now, just because he's already proven and he's still young, is Luka Doncic. 25 years old. He has 5 first-team All-NBA selections under his belt. He's a perennial MVP candidate, runner-up in the MVP voting last year, right? So at a guy who just took his team to the finals on 38-8. That is the best piece to build around in the NBA moving forward, and the Lakers now have it. A great job. So that was the Lakers and Mavs trade. The next day, De'Aaron Fox got his wish and got traded from the Kings, right? So the Kings and Spurs engage in a trade and get the Bulls involved as well in a three-team deal. The Spurs got De'Aaron Fox and Jordan McLaughlin. The Kings got Zach LaVine, CeeDee Sissoko, and a bunch of picks. The Bulls got Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter, and a pick themselves. So in the short of it, De'Aaron Fox to the Spurs, Zach LaVine to the Kings, Zach Collins, Trey Jones, and Kevin Huerter to the Bulls. The Spurs got their building blocks moving forward. De'Aaron Fox gets to get tutored by Chris Paul for the rest of the season, and then gets to join Stephon Castle, Devin Vassell, and a talented young backcourt for the Spurs, and then gets to team up with Victor Wembanyama for the foreseeable future. And then the Kings. I'm not sure what the Kings really thought that they were getting in return for this, right? If you look at the Bulls' last two seasons, I'm not sure how much better Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Domantas Sabonis are than Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Nick Vucevic. I'm just going to be completely honest. Domantas Sabonis is just like a younger Nick Vuce, which is not a knock at all. Nick Vuce in his prime is a all-star center, all-star big. Domantas Sabonis is an all-star big, right? A double-double machine in the NBA. But what does Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Domantas Sabonis get you? That your core last year and a year before weren't going to get you. I'm a little confused on return for the Kings, but they do have a bunch of picks now. Three future first round picks, two future second round picks, and their own second round pick for 2028. They got picks to maneuver. Right? They're not next year, 2025, 2027, and 2031 for the first round picks. So they're movable picks, not picks they're going to use to bolster their roster for the next year, but maybe picks they're going to use this offseason or what have you to try to flip some of this and get some more players in. But we will see. Those are the two big trades that went down this past weekend as the trade deadline came and really did something. So the NBA, no shortage of drama. They said the ratings were down. And the GMs and owners were like, we're going to do something about that. Two huge blockbuster trades in the NBA this weekend. We will see how those teams result from those trades for the rest of the year. I'm about to take a break. On the other side of the break, let's discuss that game last night. The tough one, the Sixers dropped their first loss in five games to that team up north, the Boston Celtics. I will break it down in just a second, so stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. Back on this Monday, top of the week, top of the morning. Appreciate you starting your day and your week with me. It's your man, James Jackson. It's Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter, at JimmyJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast on Twitter. We're doing a great job of just making sure you're up to date and in tune with Sixers basketball. And when we need to, the league, because sometimes the league turns itself on its head and, you know, outside of the Sixers, there's just things that everybody needs to know about. We're keeping you locked with that stuff too. But the Sixers did drop their first game in five games, first loss in five games to the Boston Celtics on Sunday night. And let's get to that game because the Sixers were in control of it for majority of the game. At one point, had a 21-22 point lead over the defending champions. And much like Game 6 2 years ago in the playoffs, which many of us, including myself, still have nightmares about, Sixers did not hold on to the lead. Jason Tatum came alive in the second half in the fourth quarter, ending up with 35 total points, and they won. It was not great. And the overall theme of that game is the Sixers blowing the lead, right? I don't want to make that one of my takeaways because all of my takeaways kind of come inside of that major umbrella that was the Sixers blowing that late game lead. But the first thing, the first big takeaway is how much different Tyrese Maxey was in the first half from the second half. And it wasn't just Tyrese Maxey coming on the second half and not hitting his shots or not being engaged. It really was a difference of how the Celtics started to play him in the second half. We've seen many teams, especially in playoff time, kind of show a blueprint on how to take Tyrese Maxey out of the game. He was getting to his spots and whatever he wanted in the first half. 7 of 14 shooting in the first half, had 23 points because of how easily he was able to get in the lane, of how little resistance, how little physicality the Celtics had against him in the first half. And Maxey is so fast that if you don't play him more physical, right, if you don't kind of get a body on him, if you don't blitz him, if you don't crowd his space, if you don't make him uncomfortable at the point of attack and at the start of his dribble, he's going to be able to maneuver himself within the lane, create a lot of space for him, get to his step back, whatever. What they did was, one, get size and length on him, right? So now not as much Jrue Holiday, but more Derek White is on Tyrese Maxey, more Jaylen Brown is on Tyrese Maxey. You start to see length and size on him, and it just doesn't allow him to see the rim, see his teammates, see lanes, and that's how you get Tyrese Maxey out of the game. They force him into tough shots and the tough looks, and that's not Maxey's game. That's not how, you know, he's going to kind of get going and get in a rhythm, and we've seen kind of a lot of teams take him out in this way, but more importantly and especially, we saw the Celtics do this 2 years ago, kind of put out the blueprint on Maxey when he was starting, you know, to kind of make his ascension into the league, 2 years ago when they had James Harden going into that playoff series. The Celtics really showed the rest of the world, this is how you take Tyrese Maxey out of this. This is how you make Tyrese Maxey's night really tough and make him really frustrated. So if there's any team that knows how to do that, there's any team that knows how to turn it on, it's the Boston Celtics, and it took them a little while to do it. I don't know if they were kind of rope-a-doping the Sixers and letting them get their best punches out on the beginning of the game or in the first half, but second half just looked different. This was not a tale on Christmas where the Sixers had a big lead and they maintained it and they kept it all the way through. The Celtics turned it on at some point and were able to come back. I get on Christmas, the Sixers had a full roster. They had their stars playing. It was everything. They did not have that, right? No Joel Embiid, no Paul George, no Caleb Martin. So, honestly, two of the three biggest players on that Christmas Day game, Caleb Martin, Joel Embiid, did not play. Paul George had himself a decent game, too. So, it was all focused on Tyrese Maxey. And in the second half, that focus got turned up to a point where, you know, Tyrese just couldn't break out of it. So, a tale of two halves for Tyrese, and this time the second half was not kind. 2 of 7 shooting, just 11 points for Tyrese Maxey. That's what the Celtics did on the defensive end to turn the tide. On the offensive end, to be honest, I don't think the Celtics really did anything too different in the second half. The shots just started falling, right? We know the Celtics' MO. Everybody knows the Celtics' MO, right? They don't really try to hide it. We are going to shoot a lot of threes, and when we win, it's because we made a lot of threes, right? And in the first two half or the first two quarters, it was not that, right? The Celtics were not hitting their shots. It wasn't like they weren't getting good looks. It wasn't like they were getting open looks. They just weren't falling, and they were dying by the three in the first half. And I was sitting there watching that game last night, and I'm saying to myself, if the Celtics start hitting their threes, this game looks a lot different, right? They're not turning the ball over. They're not taking bad shots, right? They're not it's literally the shots aren't falling. And it's a make or miss league. They were missing in the first half. And in the second half, they were not. Once that lead went to 14 the start of the fourth quarter, I was like, this game is not over by any stretch of the imagination. They shot 14 to 22. from three-point range in the second half, 8 of 12 in the fourth quarter. And we watched that lead just simply dwindle fast, rapidly in the fourth quarter. And to my point, like Yabusele even said after the game something that I was thinking. He said, quote, they did the same thing they were doing the whole game. We did a great job of finding the open situation in the first half, the first part of the game, and then after that, we started having poor offense.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, they weren't doing anything that much differently. In the second half, shots started falling. We know the Celtics are a team that likes to shoot close to 53 pointers a game, right? So if the first 25 in the first half aren't falling, that doesn't mean the second 25 in the second half aren't going to fall. Got to continue to play good defense. You got to continue to defend all areas of the floor for 48 minutes. If you're not prepared to defend all areas of the floor for 48 minutes, you're not going to beat the Celtics. You're just not. Sixers learned that. It's not like they've learned that. They've known that. But they were reminded of that last night in a tough way. My third and final takeaway is actually a positive one. And it's Justin Edwards of just how well he's been playing, not just even last night, through this whole week. Through the four-game win streak, he was one of the best players for the Sixers. He's earned himself a starting spot amidst all the injuries. He started again last night and played 44 minutes in the game last night, right? Was tied for the Sixers lead in minutes played with Kelly Oubre Jr. Played all but 4 minutes of the ball game last night. And that's not abnormal kind of in this latest stretch of Sixers basketball. He is coming, blossoming out of a guy who maybe was going to stay on a two-way contract to a person that you can tell is going to have himself a spot in this league moving forward. Right? 12 points, 7 rebounds, a steal, an assist, and a block. Filling up the stat sheet, a plus 4 in the box score, hit both of his free throws, shot 50% from the field, 50% from 3. We're efficient all around the board, everywhere we go. And you heard Nick Nurse a couple of times talk about what he brings to the table, and he's just a smart basketball player. Shout out Coach Cal. They do that over there at Kentucky, or now Arkansas, but under Coach Cal, you really learn how to play basketball, and you learn how to become a pro and where to find your spots on the floor. It seems like, you know, when he has to swing the ball, he swings the ball. When he's supposed to shoot the ball, he shoots the ball. When he needs to play good defense and make a timely steal, he does that. He knows how to run in transition. He knows how to distribute in transition. So I want to give big shine, big shout out to the Philly native, Justin Edwards. I know I've done it before, but in the four-game stretch, even in the loss with the Celtics, a very good job, and someone that I can notice playing really well, especially in the maxi-less lineups. In the maxi-less lineups, it's tough sometimes. You're relying on a lot of people who are not a number one option normally to try and be a number one option for a 5, 6, 7 minute stretch sometimes. And when it goes to those lineups, it's weird, but we look at someone like Justin Edwards to say, we're going to need you here. Right? We're going to need you to play good, solid basketball. May not score, be the bulk of scoring, but we need you to be one of our best players on the floor right now. He seems to be willing to step up to that challenge, and that's just so good to see from a rookie, undrafted free agent, as Justin Edwards is. Shout out to the MOTEP grad. Shout out to the North Philly native, Justin Edwards. But those are my three takeaways from the loss last night. Maxi, the tale of two halves. The Boston Celtics, if anyone, got the blueprint of how to take Maxi out of a ball game. We're going to have to figure that out if we're the Sixers. The Celtics finding their three-point ball, finding their shot. It was only a matter of time before the shot started to fall, and Justin Edwards continuing to impress in his early career as a Sixer. Sixers drop a tough one to the Celtics. It is their first loss in five games, though. So as of late, they look good. We get a day rest and then another back-to-back. But we play the new-look Mavs tomorrow night at the Wells Fargo Center, the fifth of their sixth game at home. I will be back tomorrow night to break it down. I will see everybody in 24 hours.